Hey, 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 and a hearty welcome to you. You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'll be your host for the next 30 or so minutes, and my name is Dumisani Mfune. I have a lot prepared for you. Want to talk about nutrition. And actually, I want to find out from you after you hear this presentation what you think nutrition is and what type of foods that you have in your area. So I'll give you the address that you can use to tell us the different foods in your area. We'll also talk about war. Ding-ding-ding-ding. War. What is it good for? Well, we'll find out now. But before we get into any of that, kids, gather around. Auntie Debbie has a good story for you entitled A Noise in the Night.
Hi there, boys and girls. My name is Auntie Debbie Clickety Clank, and I have another great story for you, and it's called A Noise in the Night. This happened in August 1939. It's about a mother and her three children. They lived with an old grandfather, and they had very little of this world's goods. Although the grandfather hadn't much use for religion, the mother and the three girls all loved Jesus. And that was really what started it. You see, Mom wanted to take her three daughters to a camp meeting where they would hear more about Jesus. But there was no money to pay the railway fare or take care of the expenses while there.
Grandpa laughed at the idea. "You better put that nonsense out of your head," he said. "You can't afford to go, so drop it."
But Mom wouldn't drop it. Instead, she prayed. And the girls prayed too. They asked Jesus to help them do this thing that they thought would please him and make it possible somehow for them to go. The last night came, and still there was no money and no possibility of going.
"Oh, there's no use of fretting," said Grandpa. "You can't go, so just forget it. Anyway, if God wants you to go, as you say, why doesn't he give you some evidence of it?"
Mother and the girls said their prayers once more and retired for the night. Soon they were fast asleep. The hours slipped by. If anything was going to happen, it would have to happen soon, or they wouldn't be able to leave in the morning as they'd hoped and prayed and planned. Well, something did happen. At 3:30 in the morning, Doris woke up with a start and sat bolt upright in bed. There was an uncanny scratching noise coming from outside the front door. Her sister heard it and woke. Mother heard it and sat up frightened and wondered. She listened intently. The scratching continued, getting louder. Doris got out of bed and cautiously approached the door. Opening it, she peered out into the darkness. Two cats were scratching on the screen door. Doris pushed the screen open, and then, to her amazement, she saw two packages laying on the porch. "Mother," she said, "there is something here." Mom jumped out of bed to see what it was all about and discovered not only two bulky packages, but four envelopes also. Quickly, they opened the envelopes and the packages. In one package, they found lunch for their journey, all neatly prepared. In another was some more food that they might need. And in the four envelopes, there was money for Mother and each of the three girls. They were all so excited and overjoyed that they didn't sleep another wink that night. And was Grandfather surprised when they eagerly told him the story at breakfast time? But who sent the parcels? Nobody knows. However, there was an anonymous note in one of the packages, and I have the note, and it reads, "From a friend who wishes you a safe journey and a good spiritual time. May God watch over you and care for you until you return safe home. Is my prayer for you." Now, who sent that note? Someone, I'm sure, with a very tender heart and one of those dear people whom God uses now and then to answer his children's prayers. And that story was called A Noise in the Night.
Thank you, Auntie Debbie. We now want to focus and look at your health. Coming up next is Tamlin. She's going to give us interesting information about nutrition, the reason we eat and what it does for us, and how we can improve our diet. So I hope you enjoy. Up next is Practical Health.
God's original diet for humans consisted of fruits, vegetables, grains, and nuts. It wasn't until after the flood that the Creator gave people the option of flesh food. Let's read the verse together about the original diet, found in Genesis 1, verse 29 to 30. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Scientific research has proven that the basic original diet is still the most healthful. By eating foods that are in their natural state, unrefined and without additives, many diseases can be prevented and some disease conditions reversed. Eating should be a pleasurable experience, and food should have eye appeal as well as be flavorful. Our diets should include a variety of foods every day. By combining different types of food, we are assured that we are getting all the necessary nutrients needed for good health. Many times we think that obtaining the proper nutrients, the right balance of vitamins, minerals, and proteins is very complicated. We want you to see that preparing good balanced meals is really quite simple. Protein can be obtained from many sources other than meat. Dried peas or beans are excellent sources of protein, especially when eaten with a whole grain, such as brown rice, wheat, or oats. Nuts are also a good source of protein and are considered good fat. Harvard University reported a study of 21,454 men followed for an average of 17 years. This study concluded that dietary nut intake was associated with a significantly reduced risk of sudden cardiac death. However, eat a handful of nuts, not a jarful. Even vegetables, such as potatoes, contain protein and are high in vitamins and minerals as well. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Don't skip it. A good breakfast should contain the most calories of any of the day's meals. Try to eat foods high in protein and complex carbohydrates. Include some fruit if possible. A cup of coffee and pastry will not give you enough energy or endurance for your activities of the day. Try to eat a sensible lunch and a very light supper. This will give you energy for the day and help you to sleep better at night. Avoid eating between meals. The digestive system needs at least 5 hours to finish its work before starting the process all over again. Every day we should include at least 4 or more servings of vegetables and fruits. Leafy green and other vegetables should be eaten freely. The daily diet should include citrus fruits or juice, tomatoes or other foods high in vitamin C, and other fruits such as melons, bananas, pineapples, apples, plums, or pears. Whole grains are very important to a well-balanced diet. At least 4 servings a day of breads, cereals, and other grains should be eaten. Whole grains are much higher in vitamins and minerals than the refined products. Whole wheat bread or brown rice is more satisfying and will help to prevent overeating, which leads to obesity. Let's consider the wheat kernel. If you take away the wheat germ, the part that is left is starch. Most of the nutrients are in the germ. When flour is mulled and the germ is thrown away, we are wasting the best part. Just think about it. Let's say you have just received your week's pay, say 500 rand. A robber comes along and steals your money. You say to the robber, "You stole all of my money and I don't even have bus fare to get home." So the robber gives you 1 rand back and you say, "Thank you, now I am enriched." This is what happens to our flour. The good parts are taken away, a few vitamins are put back, and they call the product enriched. Another important element is fiber. Fiber is like scrub brushes in our body, keeping our digestive system clean and functioning well. Foods high in fiber not only prevent constipation, but also act as cancer prevention agents. Since the food passes through the intestines faster, there's less putrefaction, that is, the fermenting and rotting of foods in the intestines. Less time for carcinogens to irritate the bowel walls. Foods high in fiber are fresh fruits and vegetables and whole grains. Meat, milk products, and refined foods tend to clog the digestive system, leading to disease. Limit the amount of fats in your diet. Examples of common fats are lard, shortening, vegetable oils, butter and margarine, cream, mayonnaise, cheese, and foods containing these items. If dairy products are used, be sure to use the non-fat version of milk, yogurt, sour cream, whipping cream, and cheeses. Even corn oil is concentrated. It takes 15 cobs of corn or maize to make 1 tablespoonful of oil. Have you ever tried to eat 15 cobs of corn or maize at one sitting? But it is very easy to consume that 1 tablespoon of oil in French fries or pastries. Carbohydrates are an important source of food energy. However, it is best to limit the simple carbohydrates, table sugar, found in most desserts and pastries. Complex carbohydrates include potatoes, brown rice, whole grain breads, and whole grain cereals. The glycemic index is a measure of how high a sugar level rises and how long it stays in the blood after eating. Choosing foods high on the glycemic index will give you strength and energy throughout the whole day. Foods that are made with white flour and white sugar are very low on the glycemic index. Try to limit the amount of sodium in your diet. Foods that are high in sodium, that is salt, content are foods such as most meats, milk products, pickled foods, salty snacks, canned vegetables, and baked goods containing baking soda and baking powder. A meatless diet is best when possible. Protein can be obtained from other foods without the disease, cholesterol, and calories found in the meat source. Certainly what the Bible defines as unclean flesh meats should be avoided, such as pork, catfish, and rodents. There are a lot of myths about the amount of protein needed for healthy bodies. Most people consume far more protein than the body needs. Excess protein in the diet can cause the kidneys to be overworked, producing kidney disease. The National Cancer Institute recently declared, eating red meat, especially fried or grilled, can double your odds of cancer. We have probably all heard about mad cow disease. This is a disease found in cattle that has infected human beings in several countries of the world. This disease is also known as bovine spongiform encephalopathy. The symptoms of the disease range from dementia to psychosis and paralysis. The disease is always fatal and at this time untreatable. The organisms that cause mad cow disease are called prions. Prions are invisible to the immune system and tough enough to survive harsh solvents and extreme temperatures. You can freeze them, boil them, soak them in formaldehyde, carbolic acid, or chloroform, and most will emerge just as deadly as before. Diets that are high in cholesterol contribute to coronary artery disease. Thousands die every year from heart-related causes. High cholesterol levels, hypertension, and obesity are all contributors. Cholesterol is only found in animal products. There is no cholesterol in plant foods. In general, plant food diets allow us to eat generously without gaining weight, becoming obese, and without producing disease. For healthy bodies and lots of vitality, eat a variety of foods in moderation and in the most natural form possible. Use salt, sugar, and fats sparingly, and be sure to enjoy your food.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Practical Living right here on Adventist World Radio. That was Tamlin explaining to us what nutrition is and how best we can benefit from it. If you have any different views of nutrition and food, why don't you share them with us? Later on in the program, I'll give you the address, the postal or email address that you can use and share that information with us. We would love to hear it and share it with the rest of the Adventist World Radio listeners. Right now, let's switch over and hear from Pastor Zukile. And he's going to be talking about spiritual warfare. We are all engaged in war. And this isn't the type of war that where people use guns and bombs and tanks. This is a war of allegiance. It's a war of the mind. In fact, you know what? I'll let Pastor Zukile explain what it is. So right now, guys, it's time for Practical Bible.
Greetings to the listeners of Adventist World Radio. My name is Evangelist Zukile Ngeza from Cape Town, South Africa. Let us pray before we commence with our message. Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome the Holy Spirit in our midst. We believe that your word is true and just. And you're going to change our lives right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to verse 5, we read about the warfare. Many countries today are joining the United Nations in speaking about the security, the global peace, and all those things which are related to that. And yet, at the same time, many countries like South Africa have invested millions of rands in buying the weapons of war. We have seen the wars since the First World War, the Second World War, and many wars which are still present even today. But I'd like to believe that the kind of weapons one is using determine the kind of war one is fighting. One cannot come with stones or the belt in fighting in a guerrilla warfare. One cannot come with just a water gun that children use in a serious war. So it is true to say that the war we are fighting is actually determined about the weapons and the quality and the quantity of the weapons we are having. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 that for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Number one, Paul in this text acknowledges the fact that we are in the world. Yes, we know that through eschatology that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. But the issue of the world in Greek does not just mean the natural resources, the vegetation, the seas, the breeze, the buildings, etc., etc. But the world in Greek, it means human flesh. So Paul acknowledges the fact that, yes, we are in human flesh. We live in human flesh. Many of us, we are deacons and elders, pastors, CEOs, enough that we even forget that we are flesh. And when we face serious challenges in life, we begin to blame God or those who are around us. We are bound to face challenges in life because we are made of flesh. But even though we are made of flesh, we do not wage war as the world does. Even though the world is fighting, but we are on another level of war. The Bible says we do not fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against spirits, principalities and the powers of darkness. And the Bible says as we read that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And therefore, the word weapon in this text, it is the same word used in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the word which means armor, the armor of God. So the armor or the weapons we use are not the same as the world. We use the helmet of salvation, according to the book of Ephesians, which represents the mentality, that our mentality is never destructive but salvific. It is never destructive but redemptive. Because we are saved to serve. Let every company wear a helmet of salvation. Let every country wear a helmet of salvation. Let every country, let every philosopher, let every scholar save students instead of destroying them with a helmet of salvation. Wear a helmet of salvation. We wear the breastplate of righteousness. it means that righteousness is in our heart. Not right living is in our heart, but righteousness. Before we even take microphones and boast about right living, let us embrace the righteousness of Christ within us, so that when he looks at us, he says, we are righteous. Let us wear the belt of truth. When the world is full of lies, when the church today, its fabric and the content and fiber is lies, stay in the truth. When everyone is running away with the spirit, remember that those who worship the Father today worship both, number one, in spirit and in truth, which is number two. And let us be able to have the sword, the spiritual sword, which is the word of God. When the devil is attacking you with all the anxieties, the burdens, tell the devil that I will cast my burdens on the one who cares for me. For thus saith the Lord, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You use the sword, which is the word of God, the double-edged sword. And before you know it, you have to protect yourself with the armor of God. The sword, which is the word, but not just the sword. You need to protect yourself by faith. The Bible talks about faith, which is the shield. What does that mean? The devil will tell you that you will not make it. You have no money to do it. The banks will disqualify you. You can't have this car. You can't have this house. We can't give you this loan. They look at the realm of material, but remind them that faith is the evidence of the things which are hoped for. In other words, it is the title deed. Yes, on the realm of faith, I don't have, but faith does not say I will have it. But faith says I have it, even though I have it on my possession or on my hands. And therefore, these weapons are contrary. And therefore, we begin to concur with Paul when he says they are mighty to destroy strongholds. What is stronghold? The Greek word for strongholds means actually the strong buildings, the citadels, the fortresses. And these weapons, they destroy those fortresses. And many of us are facing big fortresses. You don't know how you are going to pay your fees. And many of us, you don't know where will this case lead. You have been in prison for 20 years. There is not even one hope. Your children are rebelling. And all those things are happening. Your marriage is breaking. You don't have relationships. Pride is the fabric and the content of your life. But the Bible says these weapons and this armor of God is mighty enough to destroy those strongholds. And I want to say to someone out there, don't give up. Just surround the Jericho seven times. The seventh time is coming. And before the seventh time come, blow the trumpet as the sign of victory. And the Bible says, before you knew it, those big walls will fall down. I can see in my spirit that the walls are breaking. Financial constraints are solved. The doors of prisons are opened. Why? Somebody is having the helmet of salvation. Somebody is having the shield of faith. And somebody is shooting with the sword of the Spirit. And as we read the Bible, as we are coming to the closing, we actually, Paul is saying that we demolish arguments. What do you mean by arguments? We don't kill arguments. We demolish. And those who are familiar with the construction industry, they are demolishing companies when there are big buildings which the municipalities or the government do not want them anymore. They bring those big machines, those big vehicles, which demolish everything. So the Bible says we demolish arguments which exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. There are many people who are against the knowledge of God. When they look at you, they say you will not go anywhere. You will never succeed. You will not make it. You will not graduate this degree. Your children will rebel forever. But the Bible says we demolish them. Those arguments, we demolish them. And the Bible, as we read the last verse I'm going to share today, verse 6 says that when imperfection is present, the Bible says now when perfection comes, the imperfection will disappear. When obedience comes, disobedience will come. And I want to remind you that in the midst of all things which are not perfect, perfection is coming. In the midst of darkness, light is coming. Let there be light, and the light will come. Therefore, take the armor of God in your life and know that you are flesh. But the fact that you are flesh, it does not mean that you carry the weapons that are carnal. Be flesh, but carry spiritual weapons. Be flesh, but carry spiritual weapons. have a degree, but have true education, which is Christ Jesus. Keep the Sabbath, the seventh day, but also carry the true Sabbath and the true rest, which is Jesus. For what will it help me to have all things in the world and lose my soul at the end? Weapons of the Spirit are held by children of the Spirit. May God bless you. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today that, Lord, we can even carry the weapons of salvation. We thank you, my God, you are worthy to be praised. We love you so much that somebody out there will begin to carry these weapons. In Jesus' name, I pray and I thank you. Amen.
That was Pastor Zukile, inspiring us all that we are engaged in warfare, but let's not lose heart. Let's trust God. We will be victorious. Sadly, guys, that is all the time that I have for you today. But before I leave, I did promise that I would give you our address. So here they go. Our postal address: Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. And the postal code is 7129. Our email is awr@sidmedia.org. I'll repeat that. awr@sidmedia.org. So, remember that right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless you.